You have your Bibles. Go ahead and open them to Joshua chapter six. I'm sorry. And for those of you that may be joining us, maybe you're in for the holidays and you have no idea what is going on here as far as scripture. You have no idea where we're at. In Joshua, we've been working our way through the book of Joshua, and Joshua has assumed command. He has led the Israelites through the Jordan River with God's entire help. The Jordan River dried up, stood on its end, and God led the Israelites through the Jordan River on dry ground. They made it over to the other side, which is Gilgal. Then they prepared themselves for what was to come. So that was I just skipped over that, but that's a pretty extraordinary thing that happened in the Jordan River, and I've covered that several weeks ago, but just, again, how awesome God is and how powerful He is that He can stand a river on its head and let an entire people group cross over completely dry, on completely dry ground. And then the Israelites built because of God's orders, they went out and they grabbed 12 big boulders and they built a memorial stone to Him on the other side of Gilgal to remind them about what God did that day, because in the future, they're going to be facing some pretty serious challenges. And God wanted them to have something to remind them of what He had already done for them. Because remember, this people group of people, okay, they don't have the best track record as far as staying faithful through it all. Which, if we compare ourselves to Israelites, we might find ourselves having the same kind of faith issues, that we're real strong at times, and then we turn our head and stick it in the sand, or we forget to look at God and trust God, and before you know it, we've kind of backslidden a little bit. And so before we start pointing our fingers at the Israelites and saying, shame on you, remember there's three more pointing back at you. And so when I read this, it's an encouragement as to what God can do in His power. It's also a gut check, if you will, to remind me that, hey, buddy, sometimes you struggle as well. And so I want us to pick up in chapter 6. Now, remember in chapter 5, God prepared Israel through circumcision for what is to come. And they did that to prepare themselves to understand that God is in control, that they are following God, they're living for Him. And in chapter 6, we find the conquest to Jericho. Now remember, they had already sent spies out to see Jericho, and that's where they met Rahab, okay? And Rahab hid the spies and then sent them back out another way so that they wouldn't be discovered by the guards. And so they made a promise to her that when they came and took siege of the city, that she and her family would be safe as long as they were in her household, and they tied this red cord, scarlet cord, around the window. Now that's all coming to happen right now. This is what we're doing. So Israel is preparing to take Jericho. This is the first thing that stands in their way. If you're a fan of the VeggieTales, like I was when I was a kid, this is where where Joshua, who's played by Larry the Cucumber, faces Jericho and the French peas that stand on the wall and throw blue slushies on nobody. Am I the only one? Okay. All right. It's fine. It's better that you don't. Okay. Moving right along. It's a big part of my childhood. All right, chapter 6, verse 1. Verse 1 and 2 for now. Now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hands with its kings, with its king and valiant warriors. So remember, before, at the end of chapter 5, God had sent, the angel of the Lord was standing before Joshua. Remember, Joshua was kind of having that smolder moment where he looked out over the area where they were about to take siege, and he saw this man standing there with full armor, sword drawn, and he was frightened at first, and he said, friend or foe, and it ended up being the angel of the Lord. And what that meant was that God was blessing their future plans. This was the angel of the Lord standing before them saying, listen, I am going to take care of this for you. And the angel of the Lord told Joshua that, and so Joshua is full-on, faithfully following God's plan. And Joshua, what we're going to see here in a minute, God presents another kind of unique plan to Joshua. The first unique plan was, hey, I want you to cross the Jordan River, and I want you to cross it this way by sending your priests and the Ark of the Covenant out into the middle of the river. Okay, it's kind of creepy. And remember, the Jordan River was at flood stage levels. So that was the first unique plan that they followed faithfully. God took care of them through that. Now we're going to have a second one. So we already understand in the verses 1 and 2 that Jericho is a very fortified city, that it is pretty impenetrable, but not so for God. And God is going to tell Joshua the exact way in which he's supposed to do this. And for some people, we probably sit there scratching our heads going, really? You want us to do this? And then if you're any type of a military person or a tactical person, you know, if that's your mindset where you understand how battles work, you're going to think, God, you're opening your people up to a wide variety of attacks. Why would you do this? But it's all faith. It's all to show that God is in control and that God is leading this army, not Joshua. Joshua's the head, or the body, but God is in control and he's the head. So let's continue reading. Verse 3. You shall march around the city, all the men of war circling the city once. You shall do so for 6 days. Also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Then on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpet. It shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn and the trumpets, you shall hear. A long blast with the ram's horn, and then when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people will go up, every man straight ahead. So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. Then he said to the people, go forward and march around the city and let the armed men go before the Ark of the Lord. And it was so that when Joshua had spoken to all the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward and blew the trumpets. And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark. While they continued to blow the trumpets, but Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor let your voice be heard, nor let a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you. Then you shall shout. So he had the Ark of the Lord taken around the city, circling it once, and they came into the camp and spent the night in camp. Wow. So God just told Joshua, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take the army, and I want you to go out, and I want you to circle the walls of Jericho 7 times, and on the 7th time, I want you to have 7 trumpets with 7 priests carrying all of this. You have to understand the significance of the number 7. And number 7 in Scripture means completeness, means perfectness, okay? And so for this to have 7 trumpets and 7 priests and 7 circles around it means that God is in control, okay? This is God's perfect plan. It means it's going to work. Because I know that if you're any kind of a tactical person, you're thinking, you are taking your whole entire army, your priests, the Ark of the Covenant, which is the representation of God, and you're taking all these people and you're putting them right below the city walls. If you study history at all, you know that these fortified cities and walls have archers. They have all kinds of different tactics to take care of armies that are coming to them, much less armies that are coming to them without battering rams and without siege ladders and things like that. And so they could easily rain down arrows on the army. They could easily pour, and is what they've done in the future, hot tar over the edges. But none of that happened. None of that happened. Because why? Because God is in control. God's in control. And so I want you to also see that Joshua, being a military man himself, doesn't question God here at all. Does it say that whenever God told him this, that Joshua said, you know what, Lord, what if we did it this way? It said, no. So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, let 7 priests carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And then he said to the people, go forward and march around the city. He didn't question God. He didn't say, Lord, this is a little crazy. Remember, you have to understand that God had already led them through a flood stage level river dried it up, stood it on end. And so Joshua, in this moment in time, is standing strong and faithful, understanding that God is going to take care of them. He doesn't know how it's going to happen. He doesn't know exactly how it all is going to work, but he is going to trust that God is in control. And folks, we are entering into a new year. We in our lives are entering into a new year, and we've got all kinds of things ahead of us. It's fun to me to stop and to look back and to see all these, not memoriam, but to go back and look at all the events that have taken place in the former year. When you sit down and you begin to do that, you think, wow, I forgot that happened this year. Because so much stuff happens. As we read this story and we continue to see how God is faithful through it all, I want us to begin to think about what God wants for us in the new year. How is God calling you to walk? And what I mean by that is are you listening to what God has planned for you? Or are you doing your own thing? And how did that work out in the previous year? You see, we're not guaranteed tomorrow, but we do need to remain faithful each day to ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you would have for me today? In our plans, in our finances, whatever we do, God needs to be in total control of it. Why? Well, because he's creator God. He created us. He has a plan for us. He created a way out of sin for us through Jesus, and he has a plan for our lives, but we have to be faithful in trusting him and following him each and every day. And so as we go through, I don't know what the word is for that, as we just do a recap of our year, what are the highlights in your life of following God? What are the lowlights? And as we plan for the future, 2019, how is God going to use you in this coming year? Are you going to let God use you in the coming year? Maybe it's to tell others about what God has done and the valleys you've come through and the mountaintop experiences you've had in 2018. And you're to tell people about that in 2019. Maybe it's just the fact that you need to get out and tell people about Christ. Tell people about what God has done in your life. Tell people how God has pulled you through some tough situations. Whatever that might be. But as the ball drops, wherever you might be, maybe hopefully you'll come here and celebrate with us. If not, Happy New Year. But I want you to be thinking about how God is going to use you in the new year. Joshua was faithful. He trusted that God was going to take care of him. He's marching on a fortified city with seven trumpets, seven priests, armed men at the front guard and the rear guard, and they're marching around this fortified city. Joshua has warned them all not to shout until you hear the trumpets blow, and then when you hear the trumpets blow, I want you to give a mighty roar, a mighty shout. Verse 12. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of the ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, and the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord, while they continued to blow the trumpets. Thus, the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did so for 6 days. Then, on the seventh day, they rose early at the dawning of the day and marched around the city in the same manner for seven times. Only on that day, they marched around the city seven times. At the seventh time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you a city. The city shall be under the ban. It and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot and all who are in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But as for you, only keep yourselves from the things under the ban, so that you do not covet them and take some of the things under the ban and make the camp of Israel a curse, and being troubled on it. But all the silver and gold articles of the bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted, and the priests blew their trumpets. And then, and when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. So the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed everything in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep, and donkey with the edge of the sword. The cool thing about this is that not only did God bring these walls down, but if you're any kind of a fan of archaeology, and you go back and you begin to study the area of Jericho, where Jericho stood, there is a layer, apparently many times these walls came down, but in this particular time, the city was utterly destroyed. And so if you're any kind of a fan of archaeology, and you go back and you look, when the archaeologists begin to dig, they find a layer of just, charcoal, just this burnt area. And what that symbolizes, what that shows the archaeologists, is that there was utter destruction at that time. Meaning it was burned to the ground, and the rubble and everything, it was destroyed. And that goes exactly along with Scripture. As we see that Jericho was utterly destroyed. And I want you to understand how God did it. He didn't do it with a powerful army. He didn't do it with battering rams and siege ladders and archers and all the stuff you see in the movies. He did it with a group of people marching around the walls and a shout and a trumpet horns. And it brought the walls down. Why? Because people shouted loud? No. Because the people were faithful to what God had said. They followed the plan to the T. And that is what brought the walls down. God's power. See, God can use whatever he wants to make his glory happen. It brings me great joy to know that, because God can use me, who is broken, who is not the best. He can use me to carry out his plan. And he used the Israelite army here because they were faithful. They had just been brought through the Jordan River. Now they realized that God had given them this land, and they were following God's will to the T, even though it was crazy. And folks, I want you to understand something, that when you begin to pray about what God might have for you in the year 2019, it might sound a little crazy to you. You might begin to think, hey, God, that's all well and good, but that is not my plan. You want me to do this? You want me to sell this? You want me to get rid of this? You want me to start all anew, but that's not my plan. Imagine what this siege would have looked like if it would have just been left up to the Israelites. I guarantee it would have gone as well. It would have gone as smoothly. But because they trusted in God, and even though the plan was a little crazy and a little weird, God brought them through. And they were able to take this fortified city that stood for a long time. And I want you to understand that as we head into the new year, as we begin to go into the new year, there might be a Jericho standing in the way of your plans. But I want you to know something. I want you to go back, and I want you to read the Scripture, and I want you to know that God has a plan for your life. And if you understand what the will of God is for your life, and you know that, hey, Jericho's standing in the way because on the other side is what God has told me that I need to do, then you need to go through Jericho. You need to remain faithful and trust that God is going to bring down the walls and let you proceed forward. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But God is going to carry you through it. You have to be faithful through this entire process. Understand that God has a plan for your life. It doesn't always look the way we want it to look. But he brings us through. He brings us through. Verses 22. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the harlot's house and bring out the woman and all she has out of there." as you have sworn to her, so the young men who were spies went and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brothers and all she had. They also brought out all of her relatives and placed them outside the camp of Israel. They burned the city with fire and all that was in it, only the silver, gold, and articles of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. However, Rahab, the harlot, her father's household, and all she had, Joshua spared. She has lived in the midst of Israel to this day, for she did she hid the messengers from whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua made them take an oath at the time, saying, "Cursed before the Lord is the man who rises up and builds this city Jericho. With the loss of his firstborn, he shall lay its foundation, and with the loss of his youngest son, he shall set up the gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was in all the land. So God keeps his promises, folks. God promised that Rahab would be safe, and all of her family, and all of the people that were in her house that day, that the siege of the battle would be safe. And that's exactly what happened. God kept his promise. He kept Rahab, she lived in the land to that day. She was taken out of their safe. And so I want you to understand, Pastor, what are we supposed to get from all of this? I want you to understand that as we enter into this new year, that God is faithful to pull you through the tough times. That you need to place your faith and trust in Him, and that daily you need to be in communication with Him, strengthening your relationship, making sure you understand what it is that He's calling you to do each and every day. Because remember, we're not guaranteed tomorrow, and so God doesn't make a plan for us for the entire length of time. God, each and every day, we should be asking God what it is that He has for our lives. Okay? And each and every day, we come to the Lord and say, "Okay, Lord, what is it?" How? First off and foremost, we should thank Him for the day. We should thank Him for the ability to be here and to give Him all the glory and praise for getting us up and putting us back on our feet one more day. Then, we ask the Lord what His will is for our life. For that day. And each and every day, for 365 days, we ask the Lord what it is that He would have us do. And if we do that, our lives will change. I promise you. Because we'll be following the will of the Father instead of our own wants. I misspoke earlier. What I meant to say was, God does have a plan for our lives. He knows, He sees our entire thing. But each and every day, we don't know what a plan is for our life. And so we have to come to Him and ask Him what it is. Folks, I want us to be faithful followers in 2019. I want us to know that, I want to know that if God calls us to do something crazy and out of the box, that we are going to stand firm and march forward as Joshua did. And here in a couple weeks, we're going to be continuing through the book of Joshua, and you're going to see that the Israelites make mistakes. But that's okay, because we can learn from those mistakes. And we can prepare ourselves for the temptation to go the other way. It's going to come. Because when we begin to follow God's will for our life, sometimes it gets hard. And that's where faith comes in. And we have to trust that God is going to pull us through. Because in the fire, in the midst of the hard stuff, God is making us pure. It's like gold. I don't have any gold, actually. Maybe the stuff that's in my cell phone that they put in there. But gold has a refining process. And when they pull it, any fans of Gold Rush in here? It's a ridiculous show. It's all planned out, but it sucks me right in. But at the end of the year, whenever they burn their gold, or they don't burn it, but they put it into a foundry, I think is what it's called, or a furnace, and it begins to burn out all the impurities, and then they have a solid bar. They knock all that shale off and stuff, and then they have a perfect gold bar. I want you to realize that that's what God does for us. And sometimes we go into the fire and God is with us through the entire thing, but He begins to burn out the impurities. He begins to make us into the perfect thing that He wants us to be. And we have to remember that. God has a plan for your life. But if you never talk to him, it's hard to know what that is. You never read his scripture, it's hard to get through those tough times. And so we have to be devoted to reading the scripture, praying, and truly spending time with him, alone, away from everything else. Put yourself in another room and just have some alone time with God. And let him speak to you. I'll tell you which way to go. That is my hope for you for 2019. As we bring in the new year, I hope that you are looking forward to what God has planned for you, and I hope that you're excited about what the new year brings. Maybe you're ready to say bon voyage 2018 because it's been a bad year, but you can look on the horizon of 2019 and know that God has planned for you. Okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the many blessings you give us. We thank you for the many blessings you've given us in 2018 and how you've taken care of us, Father, and how you pulled us through the tough stuff, Lord. We're here. We're standing before you this morning. So God, I just pray as we enter into the new year, we begin to think about all the things we want to do. Lord, I pray that you would be at the forefront of those plans. That our relationship with you, that our Bible reading skills and all those other things would begin to be sharpened. Lord, that they would be important to us. Lord, that we would realize that it's the lifeline to you is through your word and through prayer. And so, Father, I pray that you begin to do a work in our lives this morning. Lord, preparing us for the new year, preparing us for your will and what you have planned for us, Father. Lord, I thank you so much for the grace that you bestow upon us. Lord, the love that you've given us, even when we don't deserve it. We thank you for your son, Jesus, how you sent him to this world and you appealed. You showed yourself to the lowest people, the shepherds in the field, Father, and you told them it was good news. Lord, they came and they celebrated the birth of Christ. Father, that gives us hope. You didn't come for the highfalutin. You didn't come for those that weren't sick, but you came for those that needed you. You came for all. So, Lord, as we focus on your will for our life, Lord, I just pray that you begin to mold us into what you would want us to be. We love you so much. We thank you for the many blessings you give us. We ask this all in your name. Amen. As we sing, I'll be here in the front. And if you want to pray, I'll be here. But just do business with God this morning. Prepare your hearts. Let's stand and sing.